We'd like to thank Newman University Athletic Director Vic Trilli and Compliance Director Joanna Pryor for their work in helping set up the room and the meal for today. We appreciate Great Western Dining's meal. Hope everybody got plenty of wings and they're doing good. So appreciate it, Vic. Thank you very much for being our host today. So thank you very much. I'd like to introduce a couple people. First, I'd like to introduce Region 6 Men's Director, Randy Stang. Randy is the AD at Hutchinson Community College, and he's the Men's Region 6 Director for the NJCAA. Randy. Also attending, I got to make sure my bosses get introduced, right? Ryan Ruta is here from Garden City, Athletic Director at Garden City, along with Colin Lamb and Dan Delgado. And Matt Jacobs from Butler's here, so we appreciate those guys being here. Also, like to take a little bit of time to introduce to you. Obviously, in most organizations, there's always a little turnover, and it's not any different for the Jayhawk Conference football. So we'd like to introduce our new head football coaches, and the first one is Matt Miller, new head football coach at Garden City Community College. Matt, welcome to the Jayhawk Conference. Head football coach Gary Thomas is here from Dodge City Community College. Gary, welcome to the Jayhawk Conference. Special thanks to the helpers for setting this up. Steve Carpenter, the sports information director, and his staff from Hutchinson Community College is here. Does a lot to help the Jayhawk Conference and help in streaming this news conference. So. Also, Mark Patrick is here and has kind of helped, has been a helper to me and to Russ Karn. Mark is the assistant webmaster and helps Russ Karn. Russ Karn, our webmaster for the KGC website, is not here. He's had some health problems and so could not attend. Obviously, special appreciation to the members of the media that are here. And it really, not only for this event, but for their coverage of Jayhawk Conference athletics throughout the year. It's, I think, a good partnership between the Jayhawk Conference and the media, and we appreciate your support of Jayhawk Conference athletics, and especially being here for this football press conference. We have a great website, and I know you guys utilize the website, and so anything that I can do to help as a conference commissioner, please please feel free to call on me to help, or Russ Karn, our webmaster, if you need additional information from him. Also, I'd like to introduce our supervisor of football officials, Craig Helzer. Craig is here as a supervisor. Craig is also a full-time football official, and in fact, was a referee the national championship Division II, NCAA Division II championship last year. So, we're grateful. I'm grateful to have Craig here. Also helping is Mark Schroff. Mark's been a longtime official in the Jayhawk Conference, and he's one of our football observers and will be out in the field observing football officials and games. And also helping is Robert Richardson. Robert is a Big 12 official and does a lot of used to work in the Jayhawk Conference, moved up to the Big 12, and gives us a lot of help on advising and helping with our football clinic. I'd like to call on Craig now to give a little update on rule changes for the upcoming year. So.
Thank you, Bryce. This year, there's some significant rule changes. I want to point out to the media, I think the coaches know this, that the rule book is written by a committee of coaches and commissioners. It isn't written by the officials. All we are doing is hired to enforce the rules that the coaches and the commissioners write. I'm going to cover some of the minor rule changes real quick, and then we'll go into the major ones. And then when the coaches meet afterward, we've got some video that we'll show and talk about some different things. This year, if you have a player that enters the game wearing a new number, the referee has to report on the microphone. So if you have a lineman, 67, his jersey gets ripped off, you change him to 76. When he comes in the game, he has to tell the referee, and that needs to report on the microphone. That tells the other team that you've replaced that jersey. They put a rule in that the players that play the same position can't have the same number. So if you have a wide receiver, you can't have two number ones. You can have a linebacker number one, you can have a receiver number one, but not at the same position. Minimum time for spiking the football. If the clock is stopped with 2 seconds or less at the end of a quarter, the quarterback can't spike the ball. That's going to be the last play. So if it's 3 seconds, you're good to spike it, but if it's less than three, then you have to run a play. They're going to have a 10-second runoff after injury. So if you're, let's say that you have a player that gets hurt, and that's the only reason that stopped the clock, and we're under a minute. We shut the clock down. That player substituted out. If you have a timeout left, you can buy the 10-second runoff with a timeout. If you don't have a timeout, we're going to run 10 seconds off. So that's a new rule change. Also, last year when the helmet came off, the player had to leave. But let's say it's critical. Let's say it's the last play, the second to the last play of the game. Quarterback gets hit legally. His helmet comes off. You can buy him back in the game with a timeout. So if your helmet comes off, you have the option to do that. So that's a new rule change. The way we block, blocking below the waist has changed, and we'll show some video on that. But there's a box. It's kind of complicated, but we'll talk about that in the coaches' meeting. But how we block low has changed. Basically what they've done is they've put the rule in, after the ball is outside the tackle box, if I'm trying to block, like let's say if I'm trying to block Bryce, it used to be the direction I block, but now it's the direction of Bryce. This is 10 o'clock and this is 2 o'clock. So if I block Bryce straight at 10 and 2, he can see me. So it's okay to go low. We'll show some film on that. We're just trying to get it where people can understand it better. The last thing in and the most significant rule change that we have is targeting. Targeting a defenseless player. The coaches, the administrators, they want high hits out of football. It's going to happen. There's been a lot of complaint in the media this week. I'm sure you've seen a lot of stuff on ESPN. And I've got a good video when I'm done that Robert's going to show that the NCAA put together, Rogers Redding, even has Kirk Herbstreit narrating the start of it. But high hits are coming out. You're going to have to learn how to coach your players not to tackle high above the shoulders with their helmet. Now, anytime we talk about officiating, if we can put something into categories that our officials, our players, and coaches can understand, it makes it easier for us to officiate. For example, pass interference. We have categories of playing through the back, hook and turn, holding. We've got takedown. So what we've done is we've taken the targeting and put it into four categories. And we'll show these categories with the coaches after the press conference. But the four categories are, number one is launch. That's when a player leaves his feet and launches with his helmet above the shoulders. Number two is thrust. Thrust is when you're on your feet, but you dip your head and your helmet hits above the shoulders. Number three is striking, and that's when you use your fist, your elbow, like that to strike above the shoulders. That's a foul. And the other thing is using the crown of your helmet. Regardless of where I hit, if I take the crown of my helmet and I come and I'm going to hit lower and hit him in the chest, even though it's not above the shoulders, that's still targeting with the crown of the helmet. So all of these fouls now are 15-yard penalty and disqualification. So it's a major rule change. It's something that's here. It's here to stay. It started in the NFL. Now it's down at the NCAA. So it's something that it's going to be a challenge for us to officiate. We have been going to clinics since March. We have meetings in Wichita every week. We had the CFO conference in Dallas 2 weeks ago. We had probably 35 of our officials that work in the J-Out conference were there. We've got the MIAA clinic next weekend and our camp the weekend after that. So we'll be showing a lot of film on targeting, and it's going to be a challenge to get it right, but it's something that's here to stay. So, Robert, if you want to come up here and we'll show the video. This is about a 9-minute video. Show some plays of what we're talking about. We'll be right back.
Hey, fellas, how you doing? It's Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN's College Game Day. Just wanted to take a second to just kind of give you an outside perspective of this new rule. And I know it's crazy, and I'm not saying we all agree with it, but it's reality in today's game of college football. This rule really started in the NFL, and Roger Goodell, the commissioner, has made it very clear that they're not going to put up with it in the NFL, and it's filtered down now into the college game. For the last 2 or 3 years, these kind of hits will give you a 15-yard penalty. This year, you're talking about getting kicked out of the football game. So listen, whether you agree with this or disagree with this, if you have one of these collisions, you're going to be kicked out of the game. Imagine being in a third quarter or fourth quarter, a huge game. Receiver goes up and a safety blows him up. Head-to-head collision. Not only is it a penalty, you're kicked out of the game and you can't help your team try to win a football game. It's that big a deal. They're taking it very, very seriously. So it's no longer, I can't believe this rule. I don't agree with this rule. It's no longer that and take a 15-yard penalty. Now it's an ejection. So listen, adjust, do whatever you have to do, but make sure you listen to this presentation and take it very, very seriously.
Here is a series of 7 plays where there is a foul for targeting and initiating contact to the head or neck area of a defenseless player. In every play, we can see one or more elements of targeting, which means not trying to make a good football play, but apparently trying to inflict injury. Note that in each case, the player committing the foul either launches himself or he crouches and thrusts himself upward to attack the defenseless opponent in the head or the neck area. All these are situations where he could have made a great play by hitting lower and not deliberately going for the head or neck. In 2013, each one of these will result in a 15-yard penalty, plus the player will be ejected from the game. If the foul is in the first half, the player is ejected for the rest of that game. If the foul is in the second half, he's out for the rest of that game, plus the first half of the next game. Play number 8 is a foul for targeting and initiating contact with the crown of the helmet. Note that the player dips his head and drives his headgear into the upper chest area. This play is dangerous for the tackler, who runs the risk of his head being shoved down between the shoulders. The penalty for this foul is the same as in the other plays you have just seen. Here are 2 more plays that show targeting and initiating contact to the head or neck area of a defenseless opponent. These are very similar to the ones we saw earlier, and they demonstrate the elements of targeting. The player could avoid the 15-yard penalty and being ejected from the game by lowering his strike zone and not attacking by hitting high. The next 2 plays show fouls for targeting and initiating contact to the head or neck area of an opponent where the action is a blindside block. Starting in 2013, the player who is blocked from the blindside is a defenseless player. In both these cases, The player making the block launches or thrusts his body from a crouch into the head or neck area of the player being blindsided. Again, the penalty is 15 yards plus automatic ejection from the game. These last two plays illustrate how it is possible to legally hit a defenseless opponent. In each case, the hit is legal. The player does not lead with the crown of his helmet, and he does not attack high. He turns his head to the side, he leads with his shoulder, and he strikes his opponent at the midsection or chest area. These are good examples of plays that are good, tough football, but they're perfectly legal.
The one thing I want to say on the Georgia play, on the quarterback, we do have a new rule also. If there's a change of possession and the quarterback doesn't participate in the play, he's not trying to go make the tackle. He can't be hit. If he's hit high above the shoulders, it'll be ejection. If he's not hit high above the shoulders and he's hit, it'll be a 15-yard penalty. Thank you, Bryce.
Thanks, Craig. Craig, I think you picked up I thought it was important for Craig to speak a little bit so the media can see too. Obviously, as we go into this new year and we have ejections, at least that gives you a little background to focus in on. And say, well, why is that player being ejected? What went on out there? So that'll give you a little idea. 2012 was another great year for the Jayhawk Conference. We had three of our colleges play in NJCAA bowl games. Butler Community College played Iowa Western for the national championship. Hutchinson Community College defeated Iowa Central in the Salt City Bowl. And Garden City Community College defeated Copiah Lincoln in the Mississippi Bowl. The final NJCAA poll had Butler number 2, Hutchinson number 12, and Garden City number 20. The NJCAA preseason poll has not been released yet. So we expect that out probably right after the first of the month. The first week will start with the conference games highlighted by Coffeyville hosting Hutchinson. Because of changes in our arrangement with Texas, we start the season with a series of conference games. And obviously, that will be a big, big game. The second week will be highlighted with Butler traveling to Blinn, Texas, and Hutchinson hosting Navarro, Texas. Other great matchups at home will be Highland hosting NEO, Dodge City hosting Kilgore, and Independence hosting Southeast Prep. Garden City will travel to Cisco, Texas. Fort Scott will travel to Tyler, and Coffeyville will travel to Trinity Valley. This season will end 8 years of the KJCC playing the Texas Conference. Although we have lost more than we've won, it has been a rewarding partnership for both conferences. We've really had a great relationship with the Texas Conference, and we appreciate that arrangement. In 2014, we'll mark the beginning of a new era for the KJC football, an exciting beginning to what I hope will be a long partnership with the three football colleges in Iowa. This is not a new conference, but a scheduling alliance that will give all of our colleges a full schedule. The KJC football coaches voted on the predicted order of finish for the 2013 season. The voting was very close, but pick number 1 was Butler, number 2, Hutchinson, number 3, Coffeyville, number 4, Garden City, number 5, Fort Scott, number 6, Dodge City, number 7, Highland, and number 8, Independence. I believe that the KJC webpage is one of the finest in the country, and we're thankful to have Russ Karn as our webmaster. He does a great job for the conference. The coaches have done a great job reporting scores immediately after games, and stats are reported and posted each Monday. Rosters will be posted on the website as soon as the coaches make their cuts and get the roster to Russ. So go to the KJC webpage, kjcc.org, and all that information will be available. Russ, as I mentioned earlier, has had some health issues this past spring, so I'm getting him some help. Mark Patrick will have his hand in the posting of football stats this fall. Mark has helped us in basketball, and Russ and I look forward to Mark's help and increased involvement in the KJC webpage. Remember the very popular KJCC mobile site powered by Verizon Wireless. Be sure to get hooked into the mobile site as scores are updated by quarter or sooner. So really like to emphasize to our coaches that this is the mobile site is one of the most popular things we do out of the webpage. And it's because we're reporting scores quarter by quarter and everybody's interested what the Jayhawk Conference is doing. So please have somebody on your staff report to Russ so we can get it posted on the webpage. Before we move to the coaches' reports, are there any questions for me from anybody? Coaches will talk for probably 10 minutes in reverse order of the predicted order of finish. After the presentations, we'll take a short break so that members of the media can visit with the coaches, and then the football coaches president, Troy Morrill, will conduct a coaches meeting for all coaches. Coaches, remember that when you come up, if you have staff here, be sure and introduce your staff as we go forward. So we'll move to the presentation of the coaches, and the first presentation will be Independence Coach Steve Carson. Steve.
First of all, I'd like to thank Bryce and his staff and Verizon and Newman University for having us here. Bryce and staff do a great job during the season with the officials, with Craig and Randy, with the ADs, of getting everything done. And I agree with Bryce on our website. It's one of the best. Really, when you look at all the junior colleges, we have a great website. It keeps up to date on the stats and just things are going on in the conference. This year again, this one you really don't want to be first when you're picked last, but anyway, that's the way it goes. We'll see how we wind up. It'll be a very competitive conference again. Without saying, everybody in our league has got good players. And, you just look around over what's happened in the summer, off season, the guys that have been offered by Division I scholarships. I think last year there was over 48 plus that were offered right after February, after signing date. So I think we had one of the highest ratios, second highest ratio of any of the junior colleges throughout the country. So without saying, there's going to be some excellent players again this year with the more addition of our out-of-state players. So it again, it'll be very competitive and should be some exciting football for all of us, for the fans and the media to see. Our coaching staff pretty much remains intact, but like most of us, we have our changes. Matt Lott will be our offensive coordinator again this year. Matt's going to coach quarterbacks and the wide receivers. Aaron DeBerry's back again with us. He'll be our defensive coordinator and coach our D-line. Then we had three new additions, Adam Kirby is our offensive line coach, recruiting coordinator. Adam comes from Texas. His dad's a longtime high school coach in Texas, so we're happy to have him. We've got two young coaches that are just getting out, started in the business. Van Dyke Jones is going to coach our running backs. Vance from played at the Citadel, and Phil Magro is coaching our defensive backs and. He was at Ohio State helping them last year. So we're excited about our coaching staff and what we've got returning. And so we're looking forward to this year with our coaches. Some of our key returning starters for us, we don't have a lot of sophomores. Most of our guys are going to fill in are going to be freshmen. I think that kind of goes without saying with a lot of our programs, but more so for us this year than before. Kyle Nitz from Caney, Kansas. His dad played at Coffeyville in the national championship team, and Kyle's going to be a wide receiver for us. Sean McKissick, who was second-team all-conference, tight end from Nashville, Tennessee. LaPierre Ramsey, a center from Detroit, Michigan. Marcus Shehart, offensive tackle from Labette High School, right next door to us. D'Amico Crawford, 6'3", 270, defensive lineman from Florissant, Missouri. And then Richard Devalis, who we played a defensive line last year, but we're going to move him to linebacker from Miami, Florida. So that's kind of the nucleus of our sophomores that are coming back. I know they're excited about getting back on campus. Our freshmen did a good job this year, but some of them are ready to play, and some of them are going to have to play whether they're ready to play or not. So it's kind of where we sit with our guys. Offensively, we've got to do a better job of running the ball than we did against the good teams in our league last year. Defensively, we got to do a lot better job in all areas. So I'm looking forward to it. The pro guys have gotten started already, so the juices are flowing, although I'm not sure. It's not 95 degrees today, Bryce, so this is a little bit uncommon to have this cool of weather and football getting ready to start. So you're in charge of weather, too, okay? So hopefully at Independence we won't have any lightning storms like we've had the last 2 years and get off to a good start. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you this season.
Thanks, Steve, and good luck. The next one on the list is Ryan Held, head coach at Highland Community College.
Thanks, Bryce. Appreciate it. Feel very fortunate to be here. I think the Jayhawk Conference is the best conference in the country, junior college-wise, so I feel blessed to be in the fraternity of coaches. I want to thank Bryce and his staff, obviously Kansas Newman, for hosting this event. Russ, doing the website. Our website's awesome. Craig, thank you for all you do for us, educating us and keeping us on the up and up. Want to welcome the new coaches, Coach Thomas and Coach Miller. Good luck to you this fall. So it's fixing to be a very exciting season. I believe a lot of great players. You watch the NFL draft, and a lot of those guys at some point were in the Jayhawk Conference. So it's just a privilege to be associated with this conference. Administratively at Highland, was very fortunate. We all know Bob Majeski. I was able to hire him as my offensive coordinator. I fired myself, basically, and hired him. When you're the head coach, obviously you can do what you need to do. So I made that move, and he's just been awesome for our program and with our players and recruiting and just everything. I'm actually going to move to the defensive side of the football, where I've coached for many years, and everybody else is basically in tact. I think our strength and conditioning program with Coach Arnold does an awesome job in player development, which is obviously important in this deal. So everybody else, Coach Remmers, Coach Farrell, Coach T, and Coach McCoy, and we got a new young coach, Vince Giardina, to round off our staff. I feel very good about them. Last year we didn't do summer workouts. This year we have. It's been awesome for us. We've been getting up at 5:40 in the morning, working these guys out, and our attendance has been great. So we've been able to get ahead of the game, which we didn't last year, and hopefully that'll make a big difference for us this year, because we didn't do it last year. 2012 for us, winning two games. From our end, obviously isn't good enough. But when you look at what we did, defensively, we were in the top three. Offensively, was not good enough. But you look at four of our games, we were in the game in the fourth quarter, down 7 points or less, and just didn't finish the job. So our motto is finish the job. We got to figure out a way to close games out. We've got to be better on offense. Keep getting better on defense, and then our special teams net punting. We were last, which was very poor. So we've got to fix a lot of those areas. So I think we're addressing that. Last year there was one of the games that player that I knew on another team. He looked over at me and he said, "Coach," in all fun, talking a little bit, and, "Coach, you don't have enough good players over there." And so, you know, that really hit home. You don't like it. And so when Coach Carson beat us the last game of the year, I was sitting on the bus, and there was no doubt that whatever we were going to do, we were going to work on recruiting to fix the issues that we have. I think we've done a tremendous job in Kansas. Even though we've increased the out-of-state, we're going to, you know, Kansas is a high priority for us. And my coaches, that's the one thing about it, is they love recruiting. And so at the end of the day, that's, I think, going to help us. And I think it has helped us because we've done a really good job in Kansas. And I think we've done a really good job, a lot better in out-of-state recruiting. We didn't have enough playmakers. And so we've been able to fill some voids with some one-year guys coming in that I think are very good and give us some older leadership. But we have a lot of good young players in our program that I'm very excited about, lineman-wise and skill position-wise. So we'll see. You know, at the end of the day, it'll all come out in the wash, and predictions are nice. You know, we're seventh right now. We'll see how we end up, all right? And but we're definitely going to work hard to fix this thing that we're at, because being seventh, in my mind, that's just not going to work. So we got to get it done. But everybody in this conference is going to have great players, and we know each week it'll be like the SEC, week in and week out. Strengths of our team, I think our defensive line will be very good. I think our secondary will be very good. We'll be young at certain spots on the line. We got some new skill guys coming in. So we have more sophomores returning this year than we did last year, and a lot of them come from Kansas, which they've done a really good job in the off season. Weaknesses, just filling in new spots for guys. And, we'll just got to get them to grow up quickly and be ready to go. Because when you look at the season, we got to go down to Fort Scott, 1 o'clock game. It'll be hot as heck. And, if you're not in shape, you'll get ran out of the gym. And so we got to be ready to go. We play NEO, who, you know, wins the Texas League last year. And so we get that as our crossover game. So they're coming up. They got a new staff. And down the line, obviously, everybody knows the type of coaches we have in this conference. Everybody does a great job. I'll be honest with you. I'm not big on singling guys out in terms of who my key players are, because it starts all over. And we'll see who the key players are. It'll all come out when we play in the football games. But I do believe that we do have better players. When you get off the bus, it doesn't matter how you look when you get off the bus, but I do believe that when we get off the bus, we're starting to look like a college football team, which then we just got to get on the field and get it done. Shrine Bowlers, we had two Shrine Bowlers, Colin French from McPherson and Austin Moses, wide receiver from Blue Valley Northwest. That's exciting to have some Shrine Bowlers. But, again, we're excited. I'm excited to get going. We got more kids coming in this weekend. Getting ready to go for our rollover class, and then we start. We can start practice August 3rd. So, that's where it's at. We're going to work hard each week and take pride in player development, getting kids marketed to other schools, four-year schools, and do it the right way. So I appreciate your time. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. Appreciate it. Good luck to all the coaches, and thank you all for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan, and good luck to you. The next person is Gary Thomas. I don't do a very good job of shuffling papers, I guess. Gary Thomas from Dodge City, one of our new coaches. And Gary, welcome again to the Jayhawk Conference, and come on up. And
Obviously, I'm the new guy on the block here, along with Coach Miller, but I wasn't in the conference last season, so I guess I'm the newest of all the new guys. We're kind of feeling our way as we go here. Appreciate being invited to such an event in the conference we came from. Our preseason stuff wasn't quite as organized, and definitely wasn't this nice. We kind of sat around in a room and didn't have any food and talked to each other. So this is a pretty cool experience and the opportunity to be in the Jayhawk Conference. with a pretty distinguished group of coaches and football players and alumni, and that's evident if you just turn on the TV. And we're my staff and my players are excited to be a part of it. And like I said, we're kind of feeling things out, and we're excited the direction that we're moving. And we understand that the level of competition in this conference is the highest in the game and in the country. And you don't really have a week to kind of catch your breath. It's going to be a grind week in and week out. And a little bit, some of the conference rules a little bit different than I'm accustomed to. So there's going to be some adjustments there and just roster limits and stuff like that, which makes potentially some of your strengths and some of your weaknesses even more glaring for us being a program that's coming off a winless season and trying to turn it around. Depth, probably not our strength. And again, getting hired late in the recruiting process, probably not our strength. So trying to put together a competitive football program with a late jump and kind of the way things shook out, we feel we're pretty talented as potentially anybody in our top 22. But, you know, you start getting banged up with a grueling schedule and the level of competition that we're going to see week in and week out, and the wheels can come off the wagon pretty quickly. So for us, it's going to be attention to detail, trying to do things the right way, play the game correctly, and let the chips fall where they may. We're looking forward to an exciting season. Like I just kind of said, I think with the addition of quite a few transfers and our freshman recruiting class, we have a chance to be talented positions. There's going to be some places that we lack depth and have some holes to fill, clearly. Offensive line, I think, will be an interesting part of the equation for us. We're going to have a lot of new faces, a lot of young bodies there. Quarterback's going to be the same way. I don't think anyone is generally very excited about going into a season with a freshman quarterback, but we'll be that guy. But everywhere else, I feel pretty confident that we'll at least be able to hold our own talent-wise, speed-wise, things of that sort. We've got some talented kids coming in that can run and do some things with the football in their hands, and so we'll see how that goes. Letterman-wise, not returning a ton of Letterman, actually returning quite a few players, quite a few redshirts. I think in total we have about 12 Letterman coming back, 6 on offense, 6 on defense. Of those 12 Letterman, not very many of them started games for Dodge City last year. And a few of them did, and some of the redshirts actually have come along, had a good spring, and have done some development in the weight room, and will have a chance to help us out quite a bit. Probably the top players that we have going into the season, again, not always super comfortable about singling kids out, but our tailback will be a young man named Tyrese Thomas, who played for us last year at College DuPage and transferred over. He was our offensive MVP as a freshman last year. And rushed for right around 1,000 yards as a freshman, and was the MVP of our bowl game when we defeated NEO. And I would imagine he would have a similar type season, and he's definitely a super talented kid. We've got a couple talented wideouts, and that kind of will all shake out as we go. Do have one, again, that you'll probably hear that theme a lot, transferred from College of DuPage, a young man named Michael Thomas, pretty talented kid, he's got a couple offers already and had a real good spring, and he'll keep developing as we go. Defensively, probably where we're a little bit deeper in the talent pool. Defensive tackle, again, depth will be an issue, but I think if we can stay healthy, the kids that we're going to put on the football field will be pretty talented kids. Vinton Harris is a kid that transferred from College of DuPage for us and was a starter for us actually 2 years ago and redshirted last year. Logan Orso, a linebacker, who was our defensive MVP last year as a freshman, also transferred along, and both of our starting corners, a young man named Darvell Harris and another young man named Danzel McDaniel, who are both pretty talented kids. As far as kids that were in the program that really, really developed in the spring, Marcus Gutierrez would be one of them. And he started at tackle for Dodge City last year and has really made some huge strides in the weight room and has a skill set that will definitely be valuable for us. Tyrone Wright would be another one, a young man out of Wichita, who definitely, if it comes down to size, speed, if the measurable things, really does a good job, and I think he was a 9-game starter for them last year. So we definitely feel like we have some pieces to the puzzle. A lot of it we'll kind of learn here over the next 3 weeks, and I think starting to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and if we can continue to develop and have a little bit of luck and stay healthy and all that kind of good stuff, I think we'll have a chance to be competitive and start moving the program in the right direction. But we're excited to be here. We have a good staff put together. We kind of had a shakeup last week. I actually lost one to a Division I school and lost one to a high school job in his hometown back in Oklahoma. So we had to hire two guys late, but I actually think we filled them quite well. Our defensive coordinator is a guy named Pat Callahan, who was our defensive coordinator the last 6 years at College of DuPage. He was actually my defensive coordinator when I played junior college football. So he's been doing a lot longer than probably our whole staff if you put them all together. But he does a great job, and we've been very successful in defense. I will run the offense along with our offensive line coach is a guy named Kurt Langren, who does a real good job, and our wide receiver coach is Gunnar Twiner, who was at Western Illinois last couple of years, and he does a really good job. He's actually serving an internship right now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so we actually lose him for a couple weeks, but we'll get him back here quickly. Made a couple new hires, a couple young guys that actually came out of our program and are kind of getting in the business a little bit young. They finished their playing careers, got their degrees. A young man named Tim O'Neill is going to come on and take on our linebackers. And John Ryan, who was another player for us in the past, is going to come in and coach our safeties. So between actually going to bring on two more young guys here in the next week, but we'll get to that down the road. But we're excited about the direction we're going. I'm excited to be here and a part of all of this and the great history of this conference. And we look forward to some future success and some competitive football games. Any questions?
Thank you, Coach Thomas, and good luck. Glad to have you here as part of the conference. So wish you good luck there. The next is Coach Curtis Horton, and head coach at Fort Scott Community College. Curtis?
I just want to repeat what the coach has said before. I want to thank Bryce and Randy and Craig, the media, and everybody for being here. You know, this stuff doesn't happen by mistake. It takes a lot of organization, a lot of hard work, and it's appreciated. You know, we could take the easy way and do it half step and just kind of go through the motions, but it really sets the tone for the conference and really gets going in the right direction. Coaching-wise, I have Coach Johnson with me. Coach Johnson is my defensive line coach. He actually was a 4-year starter for KU and played in two bowl games and kind of the famous guy on the staff. Does a fantastic job for us. Staff-wise, we've had some coaching changes, but we expect that and we're excited for it. Coach Jordan, who was with us for a lot of years in the conference, actually got a football operations job with the University of Minnesota, working for Coach Keel, and I told him if he didn't take it, I would. So we were excited for him, but we hired Coach Gibson. Coach Gibson was actually at Garden City, and before that was at Blinn, so he understands the conference, and he brings an enthusiasm that we're looking forward to working with him and letting him turn him loose with the defense. Coach Harper is my offensive coordinator. Was our wide receiver coach last year. Coach Cole had to move back to Texas. Actually took an athletic director's job in the Houston area. Had some family obligations he needed to take care of. So we're excited for Coach Harper and the things he's going to do for us. Coach Glades, former player of ours, actually linebackers coach. Coach Johnson, we're talking about Coach Vaught. Young coach, and Coach Stillwell, also a young coach, are joining the staff as well. I was kind of excited. I looked around, and, I see Greg Cross played for us at Fort Scott in 07, and now he's coaching at Hutch. You look around, you see you want to measure your program by success, and I'm starting to see these guys graduate from 4-year schools, and you're seeing them coming back coaching in the conference or getting jobs. And as of right now, since 07, we actually have 7 former players that are on active rosters in the NFL. And so I think it's a great compliment to those guys and their hard work. And You know, our program grows as a graduate championship scholarship. And our main thing is to graduate our guys, win a national championship, and get them a scholarship out of there. And we call it 1+2=3, and it'll always be that way. But so it's kind of exciting to see those guys grow and develop. I was actually talking to BK. BK played for us, went to Nebraska, and he's talking about getting in coaching. You know, how you were starting out coaching, you're talking like 10 grand, you know, and he had some job opportunities in Nebraska because he was a former alumni, you know, starting out at 65, 75,000. You probably need to take those, get in that direction. So it was good to see those guys going that way. Returners, Letterman, we have 5 on offense, 6 on defense. You know, offensively, we've had a 1,000-yard rusher every year I've been there. We're going to run the ball, and we're going to continue to run the ball. I didn't think we ran the ball enough this last season, but we're going to run it some more. We really don't care if you back the box with all 11. We're going to run the ball. Defensively, we're going to be what we always have been. That's a pressure, man coverage pressure team, and try to get after people. Top players coming back, Kareem R., offensive lineman Spencer Gatewood, Zach Gogler, those three, you know, up front. Obviously, we've got to build off of those three guys. And to be honest with you, they actually came back for – we had summer camp for the freshmen, but those guys actually came back just to get extra work. So we're going to build around those guys. And Jornell Fondren at wide receiver is a young kid from Pittsburgh who's really developed and came on. And then Demetrius Hill and Vantavious Williams. You know, those guys we've got to lean on, and they've got to give us some sophomore leadership. You know, the third question, you know, was how do you see the conference race this year? You know, the truth is it's such a competitive conference. You know, we sent 7, 8, 9 kids to Division I last year from last year's team. We're 4 and 5 team. You know, most conferences you'd be in the top 1 or 2. So, obviously, Butler – tremendous program. I mean, until they get knocked off, they're the guy. Hutch, if you look at Coach Rhodes and his staff, you know, first of all, Coach Rhodes and Coach Gooch, they were at Fort Scott. They actually got the Fort Scott program going in 06. You know, they actually went and recruited Greg and brought those guys in. And if you look at his record, they've only lost to Butler for the most part. And so, you know, you're talking two of the top teams in the country. And then, just like Coach was saying earlier, the coaches here in this conference are phenomenal. I've always been a Fort Scott fan, but as far as the Jayhawk, I'm a Jayhawk conference fan. And it's going to be competitive week in and week out. And so, you know, as far as us, we've got to hit the ground running because, you know, Highland's going to be coming after us. As soon as we get done with Highland, we got to go play Tyler. Tyler's one of the top teams in the country. We got to come back and play Butler. And so we've got a tough schedule. And we've got to get on the ground and hurry and get going. You know, overall prospects, to be honest with you, our summer camp was phenomenal. The freshmen we brought in, I thought were extremely hardworking, good kids. I think that would be a special bunch. Obviously, they're a year away, but they're just – you just feel it when you're around those guys, and we're really excited about the future with those guys. Strengths of our team – you know, really, as far as strengths or weaknesses, probably goes – I'm going to answer these both at the same time. 3 years ago, we got put on probation, and we lost 17 scholarships a year. Well, times that 3. So, you know, you're looking at 51 players, not scholarships. You're looking at 51 players we have lost. So if you said a weakness we'd have, you really started noticing it last year. It hurt us in depth. Because at Fort Scott, 85 is 85. And so they knocked us down to 68. And so strength-wise, we're really excited because next recruiting class, we get those scholarships back. We'll be back at 85. And then, but as far as weakness, depth is always an issue. It's hard for us to you get in the wear and tear of the season and also as competitive as it is. So those are our strengths and weaknesses. Obviously, we're excited about getting the scholarships back and getting back a chance to get those players back. It really hurt more probably the local kids than anybody. But obviously, you know, you can say complain about it, you just continue working and moving on. list of players that play in the Shrine Bowl. We actually have two players. This is a couple of players, the first two we've had in a long time, we're really excited about. Kyle Hammonds from Crest High School and Mark Wallbridge from McLouth High School. Both athletic, hardworking, dedicated kids. You know, Kyle Hammonds from Crest Small High School, literally if they wanted to run it, they made him tailback. They wanted to throw it, he was the quarterback. They're going to punt it, he punted it. He was a punt returner, he was everything. So we're excited what these two can do and looking forward, you know, to using those guys and watching them grow and develop. List two or three players, important players, make comments about each. You know, the truth is we have several guys who are redshirted. The two I really want to mention is Abu Lehman. Abu is getting a lot of attention from everybody in the country. He's going on visits to Florida and Nebraska and all this stuff. And I keep reminding Abu, you haven't played a down yet. We got redshirted last year. So obviously, like we talked about, strength of schedule, the guys we open up with, and the whole through the season, we've got to hit the ground running, and we got to do it in a hurry. So we got to find out how physical Boo is, if he can really do this. And Boo knows, and same thing with Vantavis Williams. You know, here's a young kid who got redshirted, who's big physical. But the truth is we got to find out in a hurry, can they really do the job? And they know that the best players play. You know, and if they're not the best players, I don't care how many offers they got and where they're going, they're not going to make the team. But obviously, again, I appreciate this. Appreciate you guys being here. Does anybody have any questions? All right, thank you.